All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Thursday, March 20th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a five-game NBA main slate tonight. We had golf tee off earlier this morning. Good luck to all of you in your golf contest this weekend. And then we have a big 14-game NHL slate, so it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. All right. Always excited to do this show. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Let's get SaberSim up. We did have one question come in before the show here. Kind of allows us to like answer this question and do a slate demo simultaneously here. So let's read through it and we'll knock it out. First question. Hi, Andrew. I wanted to get your perspective on the best approach to playing qualifiers on FanDuel, particularly when the sole objective is to secure a first place finish. Additionally, I've noticed that unlike DraftKings, FanDuel does not preload contest sims for qualifiers. I would greatly appreciate your insight on both the We're a little bit more limited on the contests that we include in our database. Over on the FanDuel side, it's just more of a limitation and how much the sites allow us to interact with their site. So you do have to create them yourself. Like if you load them up, they'll usually be green and then they'll have like an exclamation point over here on the left. When you see a contest that's green, that means that the contest is not in our database. When you see the exclamation point, what that means is that the contest is missing information and we're not going to be able to run Sims for it. Typically, what you need to do is you need to go over to the Sims settings section, okay? This is where you put in the entrance, the percent first, the cash percent, how many entries, and the field lineups. So there's one right way to do it, which is to go to the contest and then fill in all this information. So like, okay, maybe your contest has, you know, 36 entries and maybe, you know, percent to first, right? You would just do 1 divided by 36 and that comes out to like 2.8%. That's not percent to first. Percent to first would be 100, right? So if, you know, you're trying to win the ticket and first place gets the ticket and not second, not third, percent to first is 100. The percent entries paid is 1 divided by 36. So then this would be like that 2.8 number that we talked about. And then let's say you have one entry in the contest. Okay. So contest size 36, percent to first 100, percent entries paid 2.8, user entries 1. Now, when you set up the contest sim like this, where the percent to first is 100, all of the ROI is coming from winning the contest. So in this case, there's no difference between sorting by win rate and sorting by ROI. Okay. So you don't need to change it. You can continue to sort by ROI for your satellites as long as you are setting up the percent to first to be 100% and then the percent entries paid to be only first, right? So like in this case, it was 1 divided by 36. The same logic that's shown when you hover over this eye icon. So when you hover over this eye icon, it says our field lineup entry fees are generally broken down like this. Low stakes are contests $4 and under. Flagship is $4.01 to $30. Medium stakes is $30.01 to $99.99. And then high stakes is $100 or more. So I would continue to follow these guidelines to figure out which bucket your contest your satellite here falls under. So then that'll tell you if it's low stakes, flagship, medium, or high. And then from there, depending on how many entries you have, I would decide whether to use single entry, 20 max, or MME. So in this example, where we have one entry, it's 36 entry size. I would use, and let's say it's like a $1 contest, right? I would use low stakes single entry. So the way that, you know, I would probably do this is like anything that's probably like less than five entries, I would consider using single entry. Anything more than five, I'd probably use 20 max. And then anything above 20, I would use MME. But usually you don't see satellites that are that big. Sometimes in football, you see those, like these super satellites. But even then, I only see them where it's like you can enter like 18 to 20 lineups. So those even, you know, generally fall closer to like the 20 max anyways, right? So that's what I would be doing to at least set up the qualifiers here. Now, let's say you're playing a lot of qualifiers or satellites, and you are playing just all different types, right? And maybe you're like, you know what? It is going to take too long to go through here and set up every single one exactly the same or exactly based on, you know, its entry size, its percent paid, all of those things, right? Maybe you're just playing like, you know, 40, 50 of them, right? Something I've experimented with in the past, which I actually like this, I think it's fine, is just setting up a $100 winner take all. So what I do is I just come in here, I'll just use the stakes, you know, it's usually like low stakes, and then low stakes single entry, I'll set contest size to 100, percent to first to 100, and entries paid 1%. The math just works out super easy this way. And I would just set this up, and then I would use this one single entry or this one, you know, custom sim as my satellite contest sim. And then I can even rename it if I want to, and I'll just put like sats. And then what I will do is if I'm, you know, playing this big group or whatever, I will make sure to use unique rank since they're all coming from the same satellite, right? So if your contest sizes are different, then you might get different lineups for each individual contest sim because it's going to vary a little bit more, like what contest is good for a 30-man, what contest is good for 100, what lineup is good for a 30-man, what lineup is good for a 100-man, what lineup is good for a 400-man, right? You're going to get different lineups. But if they're all coming from the same contest sim, then you're going to obviously have the same top lineup. So I wouldn't want to play one lineup across, you know, 40 satellites. I want to diversify. So here what I would do is, you know, you could do this in direct fill where you uncheck all of your other contests and only leave the satellites checked. And then I would use unique rank or unique random to fill them all. So if you're going to use this custom contest sim idea, well, then I would do that from a direct fill probably build, and then I would use unique rank or unique random and only fill the satellites. So those are my thoughts there. This is, again, all along the lines of setting everything up, right? We want to set it up. And then when we get to our build, we really don't want to do anything different. We want to kind of keep the same approach and keep the same process. But, you know, the way we set this up is the biggest difference, which is why we're spending a little bit extra time here. So let's go to our build now, right? We have our contest sim set up that we're going to use. And we're just going to build 500 lineups here. Kick this off. And we're going to let this run. All right, build is finishing up now. Cool. So we ran our 500 lineups. We're going to run the contest sim. This is our custom one that we did, right? Sort by exposure. We're going to get rid of this doubtful player. I'm looking for my apply button. There it is. Cool. All right. So our contest sim ran. I'm going to go switch my sats. And then I'm going to set up my sat ROI one. All right. So now I'm ready to start doing this, right? And when, you know, we said we're playing like 40 satellites, right? Okay. So I set this up to 40. I can use this drop down here if I have my entry file uploaded to manage which contests are selected at that moment. And then I can go through the same other steps here of managing my risk, getting diversification in my lineups, and figuring out what I want my exposures to look like to figure out what 40 lineups I want to play, right? So I'm going to start increasing my uniques. 1 to 2. 2 to 3. We started like 304 projection, 250 ROI. 4 uniques. So we're down like 1.5 projection, down about 35% ROI at 4 uniques. Seems kind of good. There's like 2 players that we're taking a stand on, Jordan Goodwin and Kyle Kuzma. Both high ownership, you know, both above 40%. So it seems like we're just getting to some of the best plays on the slate a little bit more, which pretty normal. If we drop to 5 uniques, everything kind of just tanks. So projection goes down like another 3 points. ROI goes down another like 60%. Kind of seems like a lot. The exposures are a lot flatter. So if you really do value diversification over everything else, you know, 5 kind of seems okay. You are sacrificing some projections and ROI, but the leverages look really good. Taking some smaller stands, still, you know, leverage in some areas, but if you go back up to 4, you are a little bit more leveraged on a couple specific players and not so well diversified, right? So 4 uniques was 47 players in your player pool. 5 uniques is 52. So you get those like extra 5 players and all that. So, you know, you could figure out whatever one you wanted, but all of these steps, my point it remains is that these steps are the same, right? It was everything we did up front to set this up was the different part. We're still using ROI. We're still, you know, balancing exposures, leverage, projection, and aggregate metrics all together, right? None of that changes. So this is how I would be, you know, building for single entries. If I'm sorry, not building for single entries, building for satellites heading into, you know, slate lock today, right? If I'm playing a big mix of them. So give that a shot. Let me know how it goes. But those are the big things that you want to be aware of when building for satellite contests. All right. Good stuff there. Good stuff so far here. Again, you know, the big thing right here is to understand that you're using, you know, if we're using the custom version, right? We're doing it. We're using one contest sim for all of our satellites. If you want to do it this way, right? If you have the time and you can go through and set them all up, great. Sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's super time intensive. But if you are doing the one contest sim approach, then make sure to use unique, in my opinion, or else you're going to end up with the one lineup in all. All right. No more questions here at the moment. I want to take a peek at the slate, see what's going on today. So 5-game slate, very, very big gap here. We have 2 games at lock. 4 p.m. Pacific time, and then 3-hour gap, and then 3 other games. So definitely a good opportunity to late swap, regardless of if there's news, right? There's going to be plenty of live data to use in this late swap window. Something else I was talking to somebody about recently, right? You know, maybe you guys are having trouble getting used to late swap. Maybe, you know, you're not super comfortable with the process. You know, these big gaps here are like great opportunities to just practice your late swaps, right? You don't have to submit them. After lock, you can open up your late swap build and you can just go through the process over and over. Even if you want to upload your lineups, just to make sure that like they all go in and they all get accepted. You could do that again and again, right? So like, say slate lock comes, okay, you upload your lineups, and then you open up your late swap build, you run your late swap, and then you upload your late swap, and then it goes through. You're like, great, awesome, you know? That doesn't mean you're like stuck with that set of lineups, right? Those lineups are effectively just placeholders until you run your final late swap. But don't be afraid to go through the steps of late swap, download your entry file, upload it to the fantasy site, and then do it again, right? Open up a new late swap build, go through the steps, download your file, upload it to the site, right? You can upload it as many times as you want. As long as you get your final one in, you know, before slate lock, before the next set of games start, that's fine. Something else you could even do, right, is maybe you want to stick with the CSV that you used at lock. Okay, well, as long as you, you know, put that one aside and name it, you could go and practice your late swaps. And then after you're done with that, you can just go re-upload your original file. And then that will be the last set you uploaded. And then your exposures will go back to what you wanted them to be in the first place. So use these big gaps to hone in your process and get used to the steps, because it seems like some users are still running into some issues with late swap. So I would really recommend taking advantage of those windows to do just that. All right. Felt like that was an important topic to cover, but we only had the one question and we knocked out a slate demo here. So I think we're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.